All right, church, go ahead and have a seat for me. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm upright. That was a battle in itself. If this is like your, like, let's say you missed like a couple weeks, and like this is like your first time back in like 3 weeks, you've missed a wild ride. Like, let me just tell you. Sorry, gotta get my stuff set. First of all, two Sundays ago, I showed up in a U-Haul and just preached. That's basically what happened. I mean, we're going to be kind about it. That's basically what happened. I showed up in a U-Haul and I preached on Sunday. And then the next Sunday, well, that week leading up, my family started getting sick. And I saw it moving through my family. And I said, Lord, please, any day but Sunday. Literally, I will take a double portion on Monday. Like, I will be as sick as a dog on Monday, just not Sunday. He didn't listen. There's some life lessons in that prayer that I had. And so I had to text Sean at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday and say, hey, I know it's my second Sunday, and I probably have zero vacation, but I'm not going to be there. Good luck. And he said, we'll figure it out. And you guys got a sermon based on thoughts of an old man, which, wow, that was way better than what I was going to do, okay? That might be a segment that we bring back every once in a while. But after the service, I texted the board, and all I said was, I'm sorry, and thank you. That's what I said. Those are the short phrases that the old man said to say. So I said those. And they said, no worries, we got you. And then someone said, sometimes God does things that we just don't quite understand, or something like that. And so the lesson that I learned in that moment was this. And so hopefully you like try to pull lessons out of like little moments that happen like that. What we do here on Sunday morning in this church community, it does not revolve around one person. It revolves around God, right? Amen? We can get an amen on that. It is not dependent on one person, but it is this community surrounded by God and His Spirit. That's what runs this community, not one person. So that was the lesson I took from laying in the bed sick on a Sunday morning. But I'm so thankful to be here with you now. So we're going to continue our series, Rooted in Christ. And I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults, and forgive another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with open hearts, and we're thankful that we're all together again. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would be upon us today, that it would wash over this place, that it would wash over this room, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what it is that you have to say to us today. Lord, let it not be my words of people here today. Let it be your words. Anything that I mess up, I pray, Lord, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people. We're so thankful that we get to journey with you together. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So the first thing I want to say is salvation never leaves us where we are. It calls us to something new. And so back in college, I played football. And heading into my senior year, we had this new strength and conditioning coach. And so he came in and he was telling us all these crazy ways he was going to make us run better. And we were like, we've been running for years, dude. What are you talking about? And so we started doing these things where he would like, we would literally like stand there and he would like hold our arms and he'd be like, no, don't put your wrist here. Put your wrist here. Don't, you can't bend the elbow. It has to be at a 45. And then you go with the shoulder. And we're like looking at this dude like, what is he talking about? What was our coach thinking hiring this guy? And that was like 2 weeks. And then we spent another 2 weeks talking about like our legs and the hip. And like, we're like, what is this dude talking about? Like, this is crazy. Like, we just want to run. Well, I won't speak for everyone else, but I said, dude, I just want to catch footballs. That's it, okay? Like, what are we talking about here? But I kid you not, at the end of spring training, a significant amount of people on the football team had increased their 40 time and their shuttle times, which is like the little cone drill that we do. So given all that happened and the resistance that we had with the change, it worked. And so what Paul is talking about here is that we shouldn't be resistant to the change, because everything that we're going to do is going to transform us into something new. And so looking at the very beginning here, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says this, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. If you are raised with Christ, set your heart where he is, above. That first statement there says, therefore. There's a lot of power in that little statement. And what we're seeing here is this big transition. So everything that we've been talking about in the series and in week one, and if you watch the little short video I did for week two to kind of keep us on track, Paul was speaking to theology. So all the way up to that point, this is who Christ is. This is the theology of Christ. You want to know what Christ is? Here it is. And then we get to this point where Paul was saying, therefore, so everything that I just talked about Christ, therefore, we're going to now transition into the practical theology, okay? So this is actually, how do we live rooted in Christ? So that very first part was showing us who Christ is, and now Paul is telling us this is how we live rooted in Christ. Because if we remember, Paul had said he is the visible image of God, that he is the creator and the sustainer of life, that he is the one that put the cosmos in order. He is the divine human and God. Now, one of my favorite things to do, and I'm really excited for this because I hear that Michigan has wonderful like wilderness. We were at the sand dunes on Friday. What was it called? What is it? Sleeping Bear. I just GPS stuff. I don't know anything yet. So we were up at the sand dunes looking at Lake Michigan. It's wonderful. One of my favorite things to do is to go backpacking. I love to just like get out in nature, unplug the phone, get out there, get lost, right? Get lost. I know where we're going, but get lost. But One of the two main things that you need when you go backpacking is a physical map, right? You need a physical map because your phone might die. And then you need a compass. Without those two things, you could get lost. Now, a compass is only good as it's calibrated, right? Like, if a compass doesn't point north, then it's pretty pointless. And this is the beginning part of this letter, is that Paul is trying to calibrate us towards Christ to say, this is what we should follow. Therefore, let's do this. So everything that we know about Christ, that's our calibration. Therefore, let's follow him because he is our true north. Moving forward, Colossians 3, 5 through 11. I love, Paul uses a transition inside of a transition. I don't know if that's legal, but he did it. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living with them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. You can't live a new life if you're clinging to the old. And so what Paul is saying here in the second transition is, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body dead. That is to say that we are dead to sin. We are sinful people. But Paul is saying, consider that part dead because of what Christ did. Remember at the beginning of the letter, what Christ did on the cross? Consider that dead. Because the wrath of God will come to the sons of disobedience. And so this is a Hebrew idiom here. And basically what they're saying is the sons of disobedience is basically when you had the sons of, it's what you were known for, right? So the sons of disobedience would be known for being idolaters. And you can insert anything that you want to in there. But what Paul is saying is that when we begin, and Paul had a history of the Torah, right? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. So he knew the Ten Commandments. He knew that you didn't put anything in front of God, that God was the first thing to do. And basically what he's saying here is that if we do any of these things, that we're putting all of these things in front of God, that we're putting wrath and anger and greed and desire, all those things are becoming idols in our lives. And Paul is saying, you can't do that. We have to be different because of who was at the beginning of the letter. So now you might be wondering, that's great, Paul, but what do we do? You know, right? Like, you're saying death to this old self, but what is that new self and what does it look like? Well, he continues. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen by God, chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sounds like the fruits of the Spirit. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you must also do. So must you do also. The NASB is like a very wild translation. It's more word for word than thought for thought. So just hold on with me, okay? In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Listen to this, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A changed heart dresses the part. Put Christ on every day. One of my favorite things that I get to see my son do, my four-year-old Wilder, is he'll put on a uniform of a firefighter. He wants to be a firefighter when he grows up. And so he puts on the uniform of a firefighter and he goes. He's running into buildings. He's putting on his air tank. He's got his hose. He always carries around an axe too. I'm like, they don't always carry around an axe. He's like, but it's pretty cool, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. And so when he puts on the uniform of the firefighter, he's jumping in, he's doing things. One time when I got home from work, I pulled in, everybody was outside playing. I hear my wife like calling out an address and like describing like a fire and like something was going on. I was like, what is going on? Like this is pretty wild. And so I get up to her, I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm the dispatcher. I'm dispatching the firefighter to a new call. And so I come to learn that she was dispatching to different fires and she dispatched him, and all of a sudden I saw him jump out of his firehouse, which was the front porch, put on his uniform, jumped in his gator, and he took off. His gator was his fire truck. You know, I don't know. That's what he had. And so he jumps off to the next fire. But when he puts on the uniform, we know what he's going to be, right? He wants to be a firefighter. He needs the uniform of a firefighter. And so Paul was telling us, what does the uniform of a Christ follower look like? What does that look like when someone is practically living out following Christ? And he said it in there a few times. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgiving one another and being close to Christ. A lot of times, and what I've found is that our words only go so far, right? So we can say we're Christ followers as much as we want to. Like, I follow Christ. But eventually that's going to fall apart because people are going to see our actions. And I think that's really what Paul is getting here to when he says, in word and deed, let people know you're a follower of Christ. And so our words begin to fall short until we begin to show those deeds that we are following Christ, that Christ is richly dwelling within us. This is where I want to land the plane. Transformation isn't just about leaving the old. It's about living in the new. Holiness is a big thing for me. I think that's one of the most important things that we can learn about and that we can do here on earth. And as we spend more and more time together, you'll start to realize that living through our embodiment is really, really important for me. And I think there's no greater calling for a follower of Christ than to live their true calling in that embodiment. And holiness is a part of that. And for this longest time, I thought that being a follower of Christ meant I can't do anything bad. When I was a first-time Christian, I thought, man, I can't do anything bad. That's what followers of Christ do. They don't do anything bad. And so I thought holiness was like striving and striving and striving. Have you guys ever seen that? It's a video, like one of those little reels. It's from Marvel movie. I don't know which one it is, but it's Captain America and Iron Man. And he's going, did you know? Did you know? And it has the little caption where it said, old Christian versus new Christian, or mature Christian versus new Christian. And he's like, did you know? Like, does your life get easier when you follow Christ? He's like, I knew. It doesn't. And that's kind of like what I felt when I was a first-time Christian, was like, man, I'm striving so hard to be holy, to be good, and I continually fail and fail and fail. So there has to be something different, right? There has to be something more to holiness than just striving and striving. And what I've found for me is holiness is not about striving, it's about submitting. When we're willing to submit to Christ, that's when we see holiness in our life. That's when we see the transforming power of Christ in our life. Because when we just like white knuckle holiness, where we're just like holding on for dear life, like, don't be angry at the people driving by, it always falls apart, right? Like, you can't white-knuckle holiness. You have to be willing to submit to Christ. And we said in the song, King Jesus. Are you willing to submit to King Jesus? Because when I finally got to that place and I submitted to King Jesus, it was no longer about striving and doing and doing. It was about submitting to him and saying, Lord, you're right. I can't do this. Dylan cannot do this. I cannot be a follower of you without you. So here I am submitting to you, admitting that I cannot do this. And only then do we begin to put on the new self that Paul talks about here. Because if we continue to strive and do good deeds and be really good people, we're missing the mark. And we're missing the mark for us here today. Because it's not about accepting Christ, submitting to him, and then going to heaven. No, we're here now. And God has called us to this holiness around us, and a social holiness that people would look at us and they would see the fruits of the Spirit, that they would see that we're kind, that we would see that we're compassionate. Nobody wants to follow a white-knuckling, oh, I love Jesus. Like, dude, no, you don't. I don't think you do at all. And frankly, I don't want to follow you. I'm going to head the other way. But we all know those people in our life who have truly submitted to the Creator. And you see that person, you're like, I don't know what they have, but I want that. That's what I want. They have holiness. Would you guys go ahead and stand with me? So the question that we're going to ask today, and the worship team is going to play a song here, is what are you wearing that no longer fits who you are in Christ? Because Paul is talking about putting on our new self. Well, to put something on, we have to take something off, right? We have to take off the anger. We have to take off the malice, the impure thoughts. But we can't do this on our own. And so during this song, I pray that we would spend some time reflecting on how can I submit to God, whatever it is that I'm still putting on each and every day and saying, Lord, this is yours. I can't do this. I can't take this off on my own, and I can't keep it off on my own. When we get to that place, that's when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and really begins to work in us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and these moments that we share together. Lord, what a powerful reminder it was today in your word that to be truly holy, it's not about what we do, it's about how we submit to you. Lord, I pray that we recognize today that in order to put on our new self, we must be willing to submit to you, that we must be willing to do one of the hardest things it is to do as a human, is to submit to someone else. But your word tells us all the goodness that is to come when we submit to you. So Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room that whatever they're carrying today, whatever they're putting on each and every day, that you would give them the power to take it off today. And they would begin that new life in you. We're so thankful for the power of your Holy Spirit, the one that transforms us through us. Lord, we pray to be holy. We pray to be good followers of you. We pray to be good stewards of all that you've given us, but we cannot do it alone. We're submitting to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.